Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 558. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Farmhouse ale.
Did you say farmhouse? Like,
yeah.
Okay.
It's a style of beer.
So it's not, that's not the brewery.
No, the brewery is right. It's the beer I bought when Earl was down here.
Nah, he just wants to remember me. That's so sweet.
That's right. Oh, I'm drinking it in honor of you.
Earl is here as well.
Yes, and I do not currently have a beer in my hand, but I did go to this fantastic bar yesterday where I was just so overwhelmed because, like, the menu has something, 40 beers. Because it's like, it has all the stuff on tap, has all the stuff that you have cans and you can just pick up the can. And it's just so overwhelming. I got there and I scrolled for like 20 minutes. I'm like, I'm just gonna have to pick something or I'm never gonna drink. And I had to pick some stuff. But yes, it's fantastic and I can't wait to go back. Hopefully they rotate out their section more often. But aside from that, I guess video games too. Yeah, video games.
Jeff Ooh. Is here with some new video games.
And some vodka.
Oh, Jeff, finally pissed the intro.
Yeah.
Vodka, huh, Jeff?
Yeah, why not?
I like vodka.
Yeah.
Type of vodka. Is it just vodka straight?
And club soda.
Okay. Not that it mattered. I was just curious.
Yeah.
Light, refreshing drink.
I drink it with cranberry juice. But...
What? I can't say that. It's diplomatic now.
Yeah, so some games came out this week, and Jeff's been playing some of them.
Video games?
Yeah, you played that Axiom Verge 2.
Yeah, I'm a little, 2 hours in maybe? I don't know. I don't think it keeps track, or I don't know, but yes.
It's on Switch,
Axiom
right?
Axiom Verge 2. Yeah, Switch, I think it's on PS4 and 5 also.
It's not on PS5 yet. I think that was like one of the things. Is like the PS5 version isn't out, but the PS4 version is.
Nintendo Switch, PC, and PS4.
Could you buy it on PS4 and play it on PS5 or no?
I have no idea. I imagine.
Okay, so yeah, whatever.
You can play the PS4.
It's not like it's gonna be like any different.
You don't want angry people. It's going to be totally different because it's different.
It's the PS5 version. It's so much
better. Yeah.
This pixelated game is going to look so much different.
This fucking NES game. Yeah, I got it on the Switch and played a couple hours and it's fucking great, dude. Like I was saying, forgot who I was saying this to earlier, but makes that wait for Metroid a little easier now, because it's I don't know if you guys have played Axiom Verge. It's Metroid. Like, it's straight up Metroid. Although this one does not look and sound like Metroid as much as the first one, it's kind of different.
Yeah, this one, if I remember the gimmick from the trailer, it seems kind of like it borrows a bit from Link's Awakening, Link to the Past, where it's like alternate worlds. And I know Link to the Past is not the only example of it, but it tends to be the go-to when you think of like games with multiple, like you're hopping back and forth between realms or dimensions.
So
or
does the world change? Like,
it's different.
It's completely different. It's like, and can you switch back and forth at any time, or is it?
I'm currently stuck in an alternate world as a drone. Like, I don't know. It seems like you can only send the drone right, at least right now. Maybe it'll be an upgrade, but right now I can only send this drone through these portals, and now like I'm stuck way deep in the alternate realm or whatever. I don't know how much that like will like one universe affects the other or not. I don't know. Maybe I'm not far enough to notice that yet or whatever, but yeah, that's part of it for sure. But also, like, I don't know, like, the first game, like, looked a lot like Metroid, like, all the time. Like, the dark backgrounds, that kind of, like, you know, sci-fi feel or whatever. Like, right. But this one, like, at the beginning, it kind of... Honestly, the first thing I thought of at the very beginning was that it was, like, The Thing. Like, the movie The Thing, where it's, like... You literally start, like, you get dropped off at this, like, research base in Antarctica, and then, like, everyone's gone. And I was like, what the fuck? Is this The Thing? But as it turns out, they've all, like, slipped into an alternate universe, and then you slip into it as well. And you're stuck there, and you're trying to get back. And then, like, you know, just the music and stuff. Like, it just got... It has a different vibe to it than the first one, but it is still very much that, like, Metroid style of gameplay.
Get, like, it's gated off areas. You need to get certain equipment to go through there.
Yeah, and you... Early on, like... I'd say in the first hour, I got, like, 5 or 6 different things, like, already. Oh, wow. So, like, I could already, like, climb up walls now, which is always an awesome upgrade to get. The little drone thing I got, I don't know. I got a thing now where you get, I could, like, make a little explosion, which is helping you get through certain walls and stuff. Yeah, it's very much, you know... If you've played any sort of game like this, it's very much that. And, you know, this series, I think, sticks a lot closer to just feeling like Metroid. But, yeah, it's just a little bit different to this one. Definitely feels maybe a little more fleshed out, too. Like, I don't know if it's just the one guy, again, working on it, or if he has more of a team now. I'm not sure. But it kind of feels like... more was put into this one a little bit, but I don't know. Like, the first one was totally awesome and perfect, but, like, it did feel like this, like, it was a great feat, but you're like, you could see it, yeah, if one guy put, like, years of his life in this, maybe he did this. I don't know. I don't know if I have much more to say about it so far, because, I'm only, like, a couple hours into it.
Okay.
The music is very different too. It's like this chanting, and it's really awesome. But like, I've noticed that I feel like it's just playing the same song now for 2 hours, and I've been to different areas. Like, if you go into an alternate realm, the song switches. But like, I've gone between different areas in the main, you know, whatever, and it's still just playing with this chanting, and it's starting to get old. I'm like, man, I hope you got like, a few more tracks in here. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I could see how that would get a bit annoying.
I mean, it's very striking music at first, but then it's like after you've been listening to it for an hour, you're like, all right, dude, just like give me something else. Give me something different here.
Give me something good.
No real bosses yet. I mean, there's things, I don't know if that they would be considered bosses, but...
I'm interested to hear what you say about them, because I remember like some of the excitement around the first one was like the boss fights were pretty cool, and the little blurb I'm reading from IGN here says that the boss fights are underwhelming in this.
Interesting.
So
what did IGN rate it?
7.
7.
It's actually the lowest. It's the lowest score, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I really... The first game is like a 10 to me. So, I've seen nothing in this one yet to make me be like, oh, this is a step down. But again, not far into it. So.
Outside of that constant chanting.
Yeah. But at first, it's very cool. You're like, wow, this is different. Like, what the fuck is this? You know?
So, did you put Skyward Sword away, or did you finish that?
I finished it and put it away.
Well, okay. you did complete it again?
Yeah, yeah.
And did you come away liking it more than a decade ago?
Yeah. I mean, I think we discussed this a couple of weeks ago. Like, expectations are different this time. So I think I did enjoy myself more. It's just, you know, you got to deal with some things that I think really kind of suck in it. But at the same time, like, I think the level design, when you get out of the sky and when, you know, you get down to the ground, and there's only like really like 3 areas, but both the areas leading up to the temples and the temples themselves, I think, are some of the best 3D Zelda design. Like, the puzzles, the items are really cool in it. It's just, yeah, there's a lot of, like, disappointing things about the game. There's some tedium, especially near the end. The big old fetch quests. Like, you have to go back to the three areas and collect a part of a song to open up the final temple. And one of, like, actually, I'd say two of those two areas in the fetch quests, I think, are pretty cool. Like, there's one in, like, the volcano area where you get, like, all your items stripped from you, and you have to, like, figure out how to get through the level and slowly get each of your items back. That was pretty neat. But then there's one where it's just, like, they're like, oh, there's 50, they call them tad tones. It's like these little fucking musical note fish. And the level's been flooded with water, and there's fucking fish everywhere. And it's like, they're, like, hidden, some of them really hard. And, like, it just sucks. You're, like, swimming around for fucking, it must have took me 20 minutes at least, fucking just looking for all these fucking, these musical notes in the water. It sucked, you know? And you're just like, at this point, you're kind of, like, ready to get to the end of the game. So, yeah, like, some of that stuff, I don't know. I've gone over, like, the big things I don't like. Yeah. Like, the overworld, I think, sucks. But, yeah, some of those later temples are just really awesome. Like, the pirate ship. Really, that was as good as I remembered it. The final dungeon, Earl, do you remember what the final dungeon was in Skyward Sword?
That's not the ancient one, right?
Mm-mm. Ancient Cistern's, like, probably halfway or somewhere in there. Yeah, it's the...
the one with the double grapple hook, what am I thinking of?
That's Twilight Princess, I think.
Okay. What is it?
The dungeon is a sliding puzzle. Like, the whole dungeon... It's tough, because I suck at sliding puzzles. I fucking hate them. And you have to, like, rearrange the dungeon, like, move the rooms around. Like, there's these little panels spread throughout the dungeon. And you go up to that panel, or you look at that panel, and you can move the rooms around. But they're like, you know, like a regular sliding puzzle, there's only one free space. And you also can't move the room that you're standing in. And good lord, it's just like it like broke my brain. Like, it took me a couple hours to do this dungeon. Yeah, sliding puzzle. I'm not good at sliding puzzles. But it's just a really, I think, really neat, clever idea, though, to be like, yeah, well, this whole fucking dungeon's a sliding puzzle. Like, you have to move the rooms around to get around in it and, like, line up the doors so that you can go between rooms. Like, it's fucking crazy.
New Jeff was there.
But, yeah, I don't know. Skyward Sword, worth it, man. Worth dealing with some of the, like, the bad things about it, I guess.
Good.
It's also, like, I don't know. As much as I love Breath of the Wild, it's like, it's nice to have a 3D Zelda on the Switch, like a traditional.
Yeah.
I don't know if, you know, Breath of the Wild 2 will get back to being, you know, at least having more traditional dungeons or not. But,
I think the other thing, and this is more, like I said, it's just more of a cool history, is how much Breath of the Wild, like, a lot of elements from Skyward Sword are introduced in. A lot of elements of Breath of the Wild are.
Yeah. So, but they feel pointless, yeah, here. They feel like meaningless. Like, why?
Yeah, it's like more like the stamina meter. I remember just not being like there's certain puzzles designed around it where it's like I remember there's like one or two incidences where you have to, what is it? Like you're running up a hill and basically your stamina runs out and you stop and you regain it. I'm like, that's not a super, it's not a puzzle.
Yeah.
But yes, and I think that was the first time Link had like free jumping in 3D. Well, not, he had some jumping beyond, just say context, like go near an edge and press A. I forget.
I don't know. I'm not thinking, nothing's coming to mind, but I don't know. There's also, like, you know, they started to tinker with, like, upgrading your items in Skyward Sword and degrading your items. And it's, like, I don't know. It just didn't, none of it felt, like, half-baked in this. Like, I don't know. Again, some of the stuff is just like whatever, but at the end of the day, it's a very long traditional Zelda game. Like, it took me 45 hours. I think that's right around what it took me the first time. And again, anytime you know you're like down on the ground working your way towards the temples, I thought was just really clever puzzles and design to it. So, Chris, have you played it at all yet? You got it, didn't you?
I did. I have not played it yet, though. It's sitting there.
It would give you plenty to do. Like I said, 45 hours.
That's one of my reasons. Like, there's so many other things that I can finish in 45 hours.
All right, you're trying to puff up your numbers there, like crank out some games?
No, I just have like so much stuff I haven't played that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, like, new stuff, like, The Ascent came out. And I was like, oh, I want to play this.
I've played a little bit of that.
Have we all played it?
I don't know if Tony played any of it.
I have not played it.
I'm not, like, super in love with it, but it's like, a cool idea, I think. And looks pretty good. I don't know.
Yeah, I think the aesthetic is, like, its strongest. Astute, like that world that they've created is really cool.
Because if I, let's say my plate was completely clear and I wasn't playing Skyward Sword, I probably would have played through it. But at this point, like, I didn't find anything like bad about it yet. Although I heard, and I think I saw you say this too, Chris, that like at the end it just becomes a real slog. Like, it's just like they're like throwing all the enemies at you at once, and that's like how they kind of end the game.
Yeah, so last week when we talked, like, I was kind of talking, I was like stuck on this part where there's a lot of these missions that are like, oh, you set it up and then it's like you have to survive for 3 minutes, 4 minutes or whatever, and they just throw all these enemies at you, and you're kind of reliant on just drops to get health. Like, there is no way to, like, there's no auto heal. So you need health packs on the ground, and you can't carry any. So you need enemies to drop them, and if they're not dropping them, you're getting screwed.
It's shittier.
Yeah, and they chew through you. Like, you get shot, and like, you don't take a lot of hits. So you need them to drop the little health nuggets or full on health packs. And I guess there are some builds, like there's augments and equipment that you can have that can like help with that, but. Also, again, like, you need that stuff to drop to even get it. So, yeah, it gets a little grindy towards the end. I did beat it. The final boss area. It's not even a boss. It's wave after. You have to set up these four. You have to, like, hack into these four computers. And you have to hold down the button to do it. So, basically, you can't do anything else while you're doing that. So it's this big arena, and you're kind of like harnessing all the enemies to come after you. You try and take as many of them out, and then rush to the console to have it upload what you need, and then you got to do it all again. But that next set is even harder enemies, and then you have to do it four times. So it gets a little annoying. Like, I was very close to just like. No, I'm done. I got what I wanted out of this, but I was finally able to finish it. The one cool thing is that, like, when you die, like, it doesn't erase the progress you made experience-wise. So you're never losing that. Like, it's not like, oh, shit, I just killed all these enemies, and I lost all that experience. It was just a giant waste, like. So you can get stronger, like, as these fights go on. Because, like, all right, I didn't clear, but I did gain a level. And that was one thing I was trying to do was, like, I would go into a fight, like, where I knew it was kind of, like, the end area boss. And try and go in needing a little bit of experience. Because then halfway through, you'll level up and you'll get all your health back, all your energy back. Which, like, that's like a free health pack, basically. And you can make yourself stronger by, you know, going into the into the character menu and upgrading your stuff there.
That reminds me of something I'm liking about Axiom Verge 2, and I don't know if it was like this in the first one, but you know how, like, if you're, like, in Metroid and you're exploring, you go real deep, and if you die, you just go back to your last save point?
Yep.
Same thing here, but you keep every item you gained, you like, any, like, things you've unlocked or, like, open, like, basically all your progress is saved, even though you haven't saved since your last save point. It feels pretty forgiving compared, like, you know, to, like, these Metroid games that you're used to, you know?
Yeah, like, Metroid can, especially, like, the original game can be really brutal in that way, so...
Yeah, if you're going deep and, you know, you haven't... You know, sometimes the save points get stretched out or whatever, and, you know, you screw up, and it's like, well, I lost everything I just gained, but, I don't remember if Axiom Verge 1 was like that, but I noticed that in 2 right away. I'm like, oh, cool, neat, I didn't lose, like, this upgrade I just got. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, and anyways. That's a nice addition that some games are adding in, because, like, nobody likes to lose progress.
I don't want to do the same thing over and over, like, just because I screwed up or whatever, like...
Right, or at least, like, if you're going to make me do it over and over again, at least give me something for it. So that, like, maybe the next time I will have more equipment, better equipment, more experience, and be able to actually clear it this time.
Yeah.
So, Earl, did you play any of The Ascent?
Yes, I was going to ask, did you play single player or multiplayer? I
only played single player. I heard the multiplayer is broken.
Is it?
Well, that was the early complaint for the first week it was out, that it was not working properly.
Okay, well, it was working for us. I was going to say, I because you complained about it, I'm like... It got to the... I mean, I guess it's slightly different with more people because you have, like, you know, enemies are really bad at targeting multiple characters. It's like, we would go into areas where, like, people would out-level us, like, twice as much. Mm-hmm. And because there's, like, 3 people shooting at them, you can kind of... Like, you don't want to get overwhelmed, but you can whittle it down. So, like, so far we haven't had too much issues with the combat. I think one of the good and bad things with the multiplayer right now is, like, most pickups you get... just goes to the entire team. To, like, any gold you get is, you know, that's good, but any, like, if you pick up any, you all get, like, the same guns, you all get, like, the same armor and stuff like that. So, like, right now it's still early on. We've played maybe the first 2 hours or so. I don't even know, because, like, I don't know if you did it this way, or it's like you spend so much time running around collecting side quests and then trying to navigate to do the actual quest that I don't know how much of it was just, like, us running around and running into, like, random encounters.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, like, actually making progress into stuff. Like, right now, we're almost level 10. I have one augmentation. I assume those are not level-based, and those are things you find in the environment at this point.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's the thing. But, yeah, so, I mean, yeah, I've enjoyed it. You know, I guess the big thing with multiplayer is that it's very easy to use your teammates. Some games will kind of have ways for you to either fast travel to them, or they will pull you ahead, and this game does it if you go in between, like, if you have to go a certain area, it will pull you through that old screen. But, like, if it's not an open world game, but, like, it's an open space, like, you can kind of go through the environments just running through,
and they're pretty big.
Yeah, so, and then, like, yeah, you can get lost, there's multiple levels, and I mean, maybe that's something that unlocks later on, or maybe it's something it doesn't tell you. Or maybe it's something you have to figure out. There's, like, I haven't figured out a way. Like, when we get lost, it's just like, oh, hold up, let me see if I can come find you. Because, again, like I said, even though you get pickups, you have to be within a certain radius. So it's not like you can just all wander off in 3 different directions and pick up stuff and everybody's going to... Yeah, and again, like I said, because you're all picking up the same stuff in everybody's early game, a lot of our loadouts and builds are pretty much the same exact thing, because it's like, yes, we all have the same gun. This gun is much better than the starter gun. Oh, this gun is better than the one we just switched to. Oh, this visor is great. We should all switch to it. So we all kind of look the same and stuff like that, which I'm waiting for it to kind of open up more and kind of see the RPG elements of it. Like, you level up and you can put points into stuff. But, like, right now, I don't really see, like, you know, like, you don't, and I don't think you get there's not going to be a hill, or there's not going to be a tank, but I feel like there should be some things that differentiates it, and I assume that's just the augmentations.
Yeah, and maybe the tactical gear you have, The augmentations, I believe, are your like specials.
Yes.
That you can Yeah, there's like a bunch of them that you can equip. So I bet playing multiplayer, like you could do some cool stuff where you probably could actually create like a healer, because there are there's tactical equipment and there's a certain augments that will help do that. And having one person do that might actually be beneficial, but when you're one person playing, you need like the offensive stuff to be able to get through the encounters.
The first one you get is like the giant pushback fist, and I'm like, that's been really good when people close in on you, because it's a great way to kind of push back folks, get some breathing room. Because like the tactical dodge works, but you don't really get much distance, and by the time you roll and get up, the enemies are right back on you.
Yeah, and it seems like you can't do it consistently.
No, there's an action.
Yeah,
it's tied to something, and again, I think that's one of the big problems. There's a lot of stuff in the game that is just never really explained. Like you. I guess that's kind of what they're going for, but some of that stuff, I say because there's a stat you can increase with your skill points that will decrease the cooldown time between rolls, and I'm like, oh, so I guess it's tied to something, but I don't know if it officially tells you that.
Yeah, I thought it might be tied to like your blue energy bar, but it doesn't seem to be, so.
No, I think, yeah, I don't know what it, but I know like right now I can do two, and then there's a cooldown for it, and I will also say, and maybe it's just like this is like one of those. I remember this used to be a problem with the 360 PS3 generation with HD games, where like, people make text that's super tiny for smart TVs. So like, it's really hard to sometimes read what's going on the screen. Especially when it comes to gear, like most of the time I'm just looking. I mean, granted, this is how I play most of these games. I'm just looking for green arrows. Are there more green arrows than red arrows? Then I'm okay with upgrading this. But like actually reading stuff, it's not the greatest text.
Yeah, I could definitely see that complaint against it. It's not fantastic.
I like games that let you adjust that now. Like a lot of games will let you do that, and I'll definitely blow it up so it looks fucking like an N64 game with the fucking text.
I thought you were gonna say a mother on a smartphone, where you all those coworkers who have those email fonts where it's like, dude, I could see your emails from across the room. Without your kid.
I dig that old like subtitling though, where like the letters are big and clear. Like, I don't know. I don't know what the deal was with everything when I went to HD. We're like, we're gonna make this as small as possible.
It's because you're supposed to have an 80-inch TV, so that you could see.
But even then, like, you know, there's dark times. Like the girl says, like with this game, where it's like, I think I have a 65-inch TV, you know, 4K and all that. Like, sometimes it's like, it's like, why did you do that? I don't know.
So that's the Ascent.
I just want to say I am having fun with it. So I am having fun with it, but it also isn't anything super special in terms of what it's doing so far for me. It's a twin stick shooter with RPG elements.
Yeah, yep. I like that idea, but somehow in like it's not doing anything wrong in execution, but then like I'm just like, this game's okay.
Yeah, it's not.
I think about just because I have too many good games right now.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that it coming out in Game Pass is very beneficial for it.
Because, for sure, you know, we were all checking it out.
Yeah, yeah. Because otherwise, I don't know. Like, I can't say that I may have like purchased it, but probably not right away. So yeah, Game Pass is a great Game Pass game.
Yeah.
Jeff, you've also played some Flight Sim. You've not been able to talk about it since you weren't here. I talked a little bit about playing it last week, but kind of want to get your take on it.
Well, I think maybe you've been playing a little more than me. I feel like I'm falling off of it now, but you know, my thoughts on it are like, one, I think it's like a technical marvel. It's like one of those games that you want to show off to people. Like, I had a friend over, and I'm like, dude, check this out. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's that part of it is a big thing about it. And but like for the game itself, I think it could be an amazing educational tool. And I did learn a lot about flying that I did not know before playing it. But like for me, like the main thing I really dig about it is just going to an area and trying to find a place that I know in that area and seeing how it's represented in the game. Like that's kind of, that's what Flight Sim is for me. And so like, you know, a big one for surprisingly hard, I think, to find stuff. Like even that, like you think like, oh, you know, there's all these big mountains and rides and the castle, like it would be super easy to see. But, you know, when you're a couple thousand feet in the air, that stuff, I guess, is not as easy sometimes. You know, I'm like, I know the general area of Disney World, and I had to like, it took a couple sessions before I actually found it.
Yeah, so, like, I probably the same, for, like, if I were flying out of Orlando and trying to find Disney World, I would, like, I know about where it's at.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'd probably struggle a little bit, because, like, hey, the world's really fucking big.
Yeah. I Googled and it's like, oh, it's a little bit west, like northwest of Orlando. And I kind of like looked at the Google map and got an idea what the lakes around it looked like. And then I went to, you know, and went for it. You know, and then you get in that area and you're like, where is it? Like, you know, you're like, I know it's somewhere around here. And then you have to like kind of circle around until it finally jumps out at you.
Did you do the tutorials?
I did a lot of them, not all of them.
So like they're like early on in one of them, they kind of like state like how to use landmarks, I guess, to navigate. And that's how I've been like, and I've been flying over like local area, so very familiar with like the area on the ground. So it's, I've just been like, fine. All right. Like here's the ballpark. So I know right next to, you know, the stadiums is 95. If I follow this up, I'll be able to kind of get where I need to go.
Those are the easiest things to spot somehow. Although I couldn't find Wrigley.
Really?
I mean, I'm like, I know it's north of the main, you know, what you think of as Chicago, and you know, I have a general idea where it is. Didn't see it. But yeah, generally, if I'm flying over a city, like that's the thing that like popped. Like it's really easy to see is like the baseball diamonds. Like I flew over Tokyo at night, and there was tons of them. Like I couldn't believe how many.
Like that. That's somewhere where I would like kind of need. I probably needed like a real map to like. All right, show me where this stuff is, because I don't know anything about like Japan, so or you know, most foreign countries. Like I've not been to many, so and I certainly don't know them intimately.
I know every inch of my city that I live in, and I know it. Yeah, I do. I know every I know every address. I know where everybody lives, and
that's a little terrifying.
It's my job. It's my job. And
is it your job?
Yeah, that is literally the definition, pretty much, of my job.
I don't know if that's really the definition of your job. Is to know where everybody is.
And if you're good at your job, if you're a fucking idiot and you just fucking just throw mail into whatever mailbox and not know what you're doing, which there's a lot of that, but not from me. I know everybody. I know where I'm going. But the thing is, me knowing where everything is, I know it from the ground level. Once you get in the air, everything looks generic. And especially, I feel like certain areas, like where I live, is pretty rural. And so I don't think it's represented as well in the game. Like, the main street in my town looks like it's covered in grass. It's like, okay. So, and you know what broke the illusion for me the last time I played it, though? Is I flew to where Six Flags Great America is, which is like Six Flags near Chicago.
Uh-huh.
And I think I spotted it, and it's like, it didn't look like anything. It wasn't like, when I was flying over Disney World, you could see individual rides, you know?
Yeah.
This just looked like a bunch of buildings. Like, I couldn't see any roller coasters.
Oh, that's crazy, because, like, I flew over Sesame Place, which is a very, very small theme park here, like, by me. And, like, from the air, like, I was like, all right, so, like, that's where the little kid wave pool, this thing here, which, if you zoom in, it's like, don't zoom in, because it does break the illusion, but, like, from the air, it's like, yeah, that's the roller coaster.
I couldn't, unless maybe I thought I found it and it wasn't, but I'm like, that's got to be where it is. And, you know, there's like this huge mall across the street from it. And, you know, I'm like, that's got to be it. And like, the only thing that would tip you off that it's there is just like there's a big parking lot and like the water park that's attached. I was able to see like a wave pool or a giant pool. Other than that, I was like, you could have told me this was an industrial park, like a bunch of office buildings. Like, I did not see any defining things, but again, maybe I'm like totally like I'm a mile off from where the fucking place actually is, but I don't know, I think I was right. But for the most part, when you find something, it's just really neat to be like, wow, like that thing I know from the real world is in this game, you know?
Yeah, like you flew over, you were flying over Egypt and the pyramids, and like that's like really cool to like look at. And I want to fly over India and like the Taj Mahal. And
flew over Vegas, and it was so hard for me to find the strip. You'd think that it would be like very easy, but it was not.
You should fly over it at night. It's like,
that didn't help.
Really?
I you would think it would be super obvious at night. Like, that's what I did, is I changed the slider to night. And it's just like, I don't know, I just see a bunch of lights. I did find it one time when I was playing, like just randomly. All of a sudden, I'm like, oh yeah, that's the strip. I almost hit the Paris balloon. and I flew down the strip, and I got actually like a picture of Circus's sign. Like, and that's wild to me that like you can fly close enough to see the sign for Circus, and there it is, you know.
Yeah, some of the stuff is really detailed. Some of it, not so much, but it's mostly pretty cool.
Yeah. No, it's a really neat game. And it's like one of those games, like, it takes up a lot of space. But, like, I always kind of want to keep it around because it's, one, they're gonna add some cool shit to it. And two, it's like, it's relaxing, you know? If you want to just, like, chill out and take in some cool views, the game is perfect for that, you know?
Yep. And it works surprisingly well on a controller.
Yeah.
So
the load time, not the best.
No, it is.
I thought Series X was going to eliminate this shit. But here we are again, right back where we started.
Well, I mean, if the game isn't built to load well, it doesn't matter what kind of console you're going to have it on.
It's also loading in the entire world.
Yeah.
I feel like I was lied to.
Yeah,
like I was lied to.
Like, oh, let's load up 8 gigs of data every time we play. It's gonna take a minute,
right? And it's like it's funny because like people are, oh, like the SSD on the PlayStation 5 is evidently faster, and like, oh, it's like, but there's still load times there. Like, it's not instantaneous. Some stuff is, like, some stuff is really cool, but load times have not disappeared. They have this idea that they were going to go away this generation is a bit crazy.
And, well, to be fair, part of it was the marketing behind that.
Yeah, yeah.
But yes, it's the same way that we have hopes that every game is going to be 4K, 120 frames per second, because
yeah, that's not a thing. Some stuff will, but most stuff not gonna happen. Jeff, you play anything else?
Nothing significant, no.
Anything insignificant?
Oh yeah. The other night I was like staying up late, and I just like, you know, had some drinks in me, and I was like flipping through a bunch of arcade games on the Xbox, but nothing interesting to share there.
Well, you I Did you try Pac-Man Championship Edition 2?
Yeah, dude. I don't know. I don't get it. Like, I'm running into ghosts, but it doesn't matter. All the ghosts form into one ghost. I was drunk at this point, but I'm like, I don't understand what the point of this was. Like, I don't know.
I don't think it's very good, but
it looks cool. Like, it looks like it, you know, I'd say it almost looks cooler than the last one, and it has a bunch of different, like, looking mazes, but, like, I just think that the game, again, I don't know, I'm probably an idiot because there's not much, it's a Pac-Man game, but I just feel like Pac-Man Championship Edition DX is, like, it's very clear and obvious what you have to do. Here, I'm just like, I don't get, I mean, obviously I'm supposed to clear boards and whatever, but, like, I just felt like they, I don't know, I felt like a lot of things going on. I don't know. And it didn't feel as fun as the last one, so I don't know.
Yeah, that's kind of my takeaway from that, so. Tony, what have you been playing?
So the new season of Apex Legends has started. Get excited. The last season was actually the first time I hadn't played enough of a season to earn the next season for free, so I had to pay for this one. Which saddened me. I know, gasp. It's like a game I put like more than 1,000 hours in, and I paid $8 for it. So I had to surrender a second $8. It just deeply wounds me.
I think you've played like 1,000 hours of that game, so
yeah, I think I've got my money's worth. Yeah. it has the same issues that every opening season of Apex Legends has before the first patch, which is the new stuff is all completely unbalanced in favor of whatever the new thing is. In this case, they added a new legend whose name escapes me, but the legend can cast this like giant octagon, and this octagon reveals to your entire team where every enemy is within it.
How big is
that? And it kind of sits. It's big.
I could see that being broken.
So what'll happen is you'll run into a team with this new character on it, with Bangalore, who can fire off smoke. So this new character will come up, cast this octagon thing. And then the Bangalore will fire a bunch of smoke into the octagon. So you're completely blind. You're hanging out inside of the octagon. But all the enemies know exactly where you are. And they're shooting at you, and you die.
Yeah, that seems like it might need to be fixed.
There's some balancing issues there. There's also, they added a new machine gun. In this case, the machine gun can be powered up. You can use the one of the grenade types lets you make the machine gun stronger. And now the machine gun can do stuff like shoot through doors. And when I'm saying shoot through doors, I mean like blow the door off.
Like just you destroy the door.
Yes. So I picked up this thing. I'm just massacring people with it. So I don't normally massacre people when I pick up a weapon. I am not a massacre person. I'm not that skilled at the game. But this game makes me look like I'm awesome with this gun. So clearly there's something wrong with it.
Fair enough.
Yeah. They made some improvements to the map, though. The map that Walt and I have always enjoyed playing on most, World's Edge, did have some areas that were kind of dead-end or, like, corridor-ish where they'd run into each other. They've added some, like, avenues off of those areas. They've blown up some of the areas of the map that were annoying before. The map has this big train yard area. It's now completely destroyed. Train yard was like the one part of the map that we would actively avoid. And now it's gone. So that's good. But, all right. You know, we're still trying to figure out how to survive in this world where, you know, people can make you completely blind and still find you. I'm assuming this will be like, normally they have a patch come out in like the first couple weeks of the season. that fixes all that weird stuff. So I'm thinking that's going to happen here, but it hasn't happened yet.
Maybe make his octagon a little smaller.
Make the octagon smaller. If somebody's shrouded in smoke, maybe make them not visible within the octagon. Because it's the combo. It's not just the fact that, like, normally I know where somebody is. Like, I saw them. I know you're over there. The problem is that inside the octagon, like, the other team knows exactly where you are, and then you can't see anything because of the smoke. It's the combination of those two things.
Yeah.
That makes it completely unworkable. And you're running in now to so many teams of it's just the new guy and Bangalore. Like, Bangalore was like Bangalore was a character that you hardly saw in previous seasons. So maybe they're like, oh yeah, we made Bangalore useful again. Great. Awesome.
Need to give people a reason to play her, so.
That's right. I don't know. Walt and I keep playing. I mean, I'm always Octane, he's always Lifeline. We haven't really changed that, so. Just kind of trying to figure out how to be an Octane in this world where I can't see. But everyone knows where I am.
Yeah, because he's the one that can run fast, right? Like.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the nitro injection. But even with that, like, you're still visible, so.
Right, exactly. Toss my little jump pad and jump away.
You play anything else?
I don't think so. I think that was the only thing. I haven't played a lot of games over the past week.
That's fair. Earl, you play anything?
Madden comes out tonight, though.
So I don't know.
The Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady.
The EA Play trial version, the 10 hours, starts tonight. So. I'm sorry, Earl. I'm sorry.
I'm on vacation next week.
That's okay. But the game's actual release is after you get back.
I'm also on vacation that week. It's just a lot of vacation coming up. So much vacation.
But I know you really want to hear about it, so I'll just save it for when I can really share it with you.
Yay!
What is there really to say about Madden?
Oh, this is the second.
This is the first Madden on this generation that's built for the console. Get excited!
Yeah, but
am I mistaken in thinking that that's usually a crappy version? Because it's like not.
No, the last one was the crappy one. Last year was the crappy one. This one should have some actual interesting things about it. I hope.
Yeah, because I always thought the ones that the first one built for the new systems are always kind of lacking in features because they're trying to get everything up and running. Make sure it's all shiny and new, and then they start anyhow, we will discuss that when that bridge comes. So yes, I've I was on vacation last week, and I brought my Switch with me on my second leg of my trip, and I started playing Yoshi's Crafted World just because I was going through my Switch, and I'm like, oh, this seems like a game I could play on the train that won't have me cussing and screaming at people. And it's a game that has me not cussing and screaming at people. It's a very straightforward, simple. I mean, it's in the vein of what is it, Kirby's Epic Yarn, and I think Yoshi's Woolly World, where they are creepy platformers designed for kids. There's like no pressure. There's no there's no time limit. As far as it's really, I mean, you can die, but it's near impossible to run out of all that stuff. And I think if you do die, you just kind of restart where you were. I don't think there's like checkpoints or anything. It's not even like you have to collect the sunflowers or whatever they're called. I don't know what they're actually called to continue to progress, because you need a certain amount to unlock different levels and stages and stuff like that. But for the most part, you will get them through the course of just playing the game if you try hard enough. It's very cute. Yoshi's always a thing, but I don't know if there's anything to say about it. I mean, it happened to be a game that I bought many moons ago, I think for like $20, and it was sitting in my Switch travel case. I'm like, yeah, this seems like an inoffensive game I could play for 2 hours on the train down to Connecticut or up to Connecticut. So yeah, that was fun. And then when I was down in Connecticut, much like last time I was there, my friends introduced me to Slay the Spire. They're really big into the roguelikes, and I don't know. I find roguelikes a lot more interesting with friends because you can trade off. So we ended up playing a game called Curse of the Dead Gods.
Yeah.
So I get you've heard of it. It is.
I was trying to tell you guys to get it earlier this year.
It's like Hades, right, Jeff?
I haven't played Hades yet. I'm gonna play it soon, I guess. Right? It's coming out.
Yes. It's an isometric beat 'em up, essentially. And like Hades, you also have different classes of weapons. So yeah, the big thing, and this is more in Hades' favor, I think part of what makes Hades Hades, the combat is great and everything, but I think a lot of it is the character designs and the story, where I don't think this game has that same element. It doesn't really have a story. Like you might be told stuff, and there are some elements there, but is that, you know, there's not characters or personalities that Hades has, which again is a big part of Hades. What you do have is the big gimmick of the game is, as it's called, it's Curse of the Dead Gods, is when you go through rooms, as you go through the dungeons, as you, you know, collect stuff, you can become more corrupted, and each time your corruption meter reaches 100, you're given just a random modifier. This modifier could be like, okay, for instance, that one of the core components of the game is like you're in a darkened temple, you have a torch. You can light different things, and if you're in the light, you take normal damage. If you're in the dark, I think your damage taken is increased by 25%. So you want to light stuff as much as possible, and you can also use the torch as a weapon, but it's not as good. But there might be a curse where you can't light any of them, or all the ones that you light will just constantly burn. It's kind of like Indiana Jones. So there's traps. It's like you might go into a room and a statue might attack you. You can get a curse where every statue will attack you, and these statues can do stuff like, you know, they could try to slice you in half. They can spit giant laser beams at you and stuff like that. You can have it. One curse is like anytime you're attacked. Anytime you can only attack with your bow and arrow, and every time you attack with your bow and arrow, you increase your corruption. So you get stuff like that. You could get stuff where you can't necessarily see the map. So, you know, it's like a roguelike. So you have a map and you pick rooms after you clear out a different room. You can't really see what's there, so you don't know if you're getting a healing. You don't know if you're getting a boss encounter. You don't know if you're getting a relic. So you get curses like that. You can get up to, I think, 4. And then the fifth one, it's just the ultimate curse. It's the curse that it seems like no matter what happens, if you get this fifth curse, it's the same curse, which is the curse of I'm not even going to try to pronounce it, god of the game. And that curse means that you are losing health every second of the game. So it then becomes a race against time. So you want to do your best to avoid that corruption, which I did not know, because you can go at the end of certain areas, you can go and you can buy stuff with gold, or you can buy it with corruption. And I'm like, oh, I don't have enough gold. I can buy a bunch of stuff for corruption. Like halfway through my run, I was corrupted and just losing health constantly. I think you could get weapons and stuff that refills your health, but like it's really just that balance of like you're rushing through, and it won't kill you. It'll stop at 1, but like if you gain health again, you'll just continue taking down to 1. But yeah, I think it's fun. The runs, you know, like it's very very straightforward. You have multiple levels. The first level, it's like just a flat run, and that's about like, I don't know, like 10 rooms, and you go through and you fight a boss. Then the second one is like that doubles it, so you have the first boss, and then you get like a whole second set of the dungeons, and it goes
make it through all of them.
And some great bosses, I think, some really fun designs and stuff like that. I like that there's like 3 different temples, each one has slightly different types of enemies. Combat is really fun and fast, and again, it depends on the combination of weapons you have and stuff like that, but you get a lot of different moves. You can go in close, you can, you know, hang out. The one downside I would say to the combat, and this is something else that I think I mentioned kind of with Death Store, is like everything kind of tied to the stamina meter in a way. It's like if you use your bow and arrow, that's tied to your stamina, so you can't dodge as much if you're using the long distance weapon, which makes sense again, but it's like that give and take and just trying to balance that.
It feels good, though, I think.
It does. It does. It
feels good. You get into a rhythm. Nice. Yeah. The combat is, like, I think, one of the best things about it. It just feels good to me.
Yeah, and I think, and much like Slay the Spire, and I Hades and Dead Cells, it's one of those games where it's like, you think, like, I think you start off and like, okay, I kind of get it, and then you kind of, you know, you fail, but then, like, you get, like, by the second run, I beat it on my second run, I'm like, okay, I get it. But then it's like, okay, then you go through again, and it's like, I might not get this combination again. And it varies so much, but it's really, I had it, I mean, we played it on Like we just took turns doing runs, and it was a blast. So yeah, I don't know what it's on. I know I paid it on the Xbox. So
I think it's on Game Pass now, so you can play it for free.
Yeah,
I paid for it. I thought it was good.
Nice. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed that, Earl and Jeff.
Just try it. Do it up.
Yeah, it's evidently on everything. So. You play anything else, Earl?
I think that might be it. I wanted to start Boyfriend Dungeon, but I will have that for next week. I did watch a friend stream, and it looks really cutesy and fun. And I think that might be it. Oh, I did get Superman in Fortnite, so yay for that.
Nice.
Unlike Tony and Walt, my character choices does not change anything in the game. It's just aesthetics.
Yours isn't a hero-based shooter.
Superman isn't just the god of Fortnite.
No, sadly enough. Though it does have one of
You can kill Superman over and over again. That's what I mean.
You can kill Superman over and over. Well, actually, I mean, most of the time you can come once and then you start the game again. But it has one of my favorite things. I don't know how much you've played Fortnite, but, like, you know about, like, the dropping stuff. So as I think this is only for Kirk. And so if you jump out the bus as Kirk, you'll jump out the bus as Kirk. But usually, like, when you want to slow down and kind of aim where you're going, you take out, like, a parachute. And for his, like, instead of taking out a parachute, he can actually transform into Superman midway and glide down. I think that's such a really cool transformation. I do love the kind of care and the little extra bonuses they add to the characters in this game when they put them in. They do show a lot of to the franchises that are represented here. So, yeah.
Nice. Let's see. I have a trio of games here. Finished Fable 3. That's a game.
I feel like I finished Fable 3 a long time ago.
Probably a decade ago, Tony.
Yeah, way to catch up.
And it wasn't
up.
That great then, and now you're playing it now.
Yeah, it's like it is easily the weakest of the series.
And that's saying a lot. Just
so you became king, and then what happened? I don't know. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, like that game is fine up until you become king or queen, and then all of a sudden it's like you need to earn 6.5 million gold while also running your kingdom, and each of these gold represents one person in your kingdom. So good luck. Also, you probably don't have that much money at this point yet, like, or yeah, any money maybe.
This is the point at which you realize that that Peter Molyneux hated to play people who played his games. Just hates them.
It's
bat in your face.
Yeah, it's so dumb. It was such a stupid choice.
Is he still on these games at this
at that point?
He doesn't work
for
Microsoft anymore. He's gone.
No, but at Fable 3, he was.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah. He did all three of them.
Yeah, he did that one. Then he worked on the Kinect game.
What does he do now? Does he still design? Or?
You know, I don't know.
I haven't heard from him in a while. I think maybe he's
silent.
Hiding.
Maybe he learned his lesson not to talk.
Yeah, sure.
What is he doing now? He did release that weird game Goddess, which I don't know if ever fully came out. But I guess he has his own studio called 22 Cans, and they have not released anything in 5 years. So
He's 62 years old, so he's probably like retiring.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was the master of overpromising stuff.
I mean, the funny part is, like, he made really good games at the beginning of his career. Like, I loved Black and White. That game was awesome. The tech wasn't quite there to reach the full vision yet, but it was interesting, at least.
That seems to be the MO of his career, though. Because what was it? Milo? Was that the other one?
Milo was the yep. Little Kinect guy, yeah.
Yeah, then that never came to fruition. Fruition in the game. But that was like, yeah, because I think that was supposed to be Kinect enabled, and that was like, this is the future of gaming. And it's like, yeah, we could never get it to work. So, I mean, he was good in that he promised big, but he was never like a jerk about it, I think.
No, he just went out there and like nobody told him, or they did tell him, hey, don't go out and say this. And he would, I think he almost had ideas on stage as he's talking and like, yeah, we'll have this. And then his team
and people
would
in the studio are like, wait, we will?
I didn't know. Somebody work on the dog. Add the dog into the game. Yeah. I mean, there's some really cool stuff in the Fable series.
Yeah. I think the first game is awesome. I think the second game is still really good. Third game is not.
Yeah, it's just a weirdly structured, and that end game is atrocious. Also, there's a bug in the backwards compatibility version where if you invite somebody locally to play, so you have two people playing on the same box, and they quit and close the game, which can accidentally happen if you don't have the host kick the player. If the second player goes, like, they bring up the menu and just say, leave game, it shuts the entire game down. And it overwrites the main person's save to that character, the other person's character.
Oh, no.
Who is a nobody. So they have no equipment. They have no money. yeah. So I was really pissed off because my, like, super leveled up princess, who was now the queen, had become like this schlubby. He's now the king, but the schlubby guy, because he's wearing like his like scrubs, not any like cool outfits. And all my money disappeared. Not that I had a ton or would have been able to save anybody, but it was very frustrating, and I was not a fan of how that game ended. Let's see. So I played that. Also, I started playing ReCore for Video Game Club.
Who picked that one? Or do you guys like all like? How do you guys pick those?
I actually picked ReCore because like it was on a list of games that I wanted to like. That it's kind of like backlog, but. Like, hey, like, this is in my library. I haven't played a ton of it. Would like to try and finish it.
I thought you had.
I bought ReCore. I played through maybe the first two areas and then fell off. It came out, like, September or October in the year it came out. And then stuff just starts coming out then, right? Like, new Battlefield, new Call of Duty. And it was fine. And that game is fine. I believe I'm getting close to the end. I just got, like, the flying thing. And I'm fighting who I assume is the final boss, but probably not in his final form. There's probably a little bit more to play after that. And from what I've read, like, you need a certain amount of these, like, special cores to open up the final area. And I don't have that amount yet. Which is something I hate in games. Mario or any of those games where it's like you need X amount of items to unlock the next level. I kind of dislike that immensely. And this is not set up that way though. This isn't like World 1-1 or World 1-2. This is basically an open world game. That's like to finish the game, you need X amount of these things. Otherwise, you can't do it. So I'm just trying to collect all them and wrap that up.
I don't remember the game. Like, I know I played it. I remember being like a defender of it.
It's neat. It has like, yeah. I mean, I think the platforming is actually really well done. Like you have a double jump and a double boost. So you can actually like really move across the environment. You have these two little robots that can come with you. There's actually three, I think, but you can only bring two at a time. And like they can do things out in the world. And the guns aren't like there's one gun basically, but there's these. It's kind of like Ikaruga where you have to color match So you have like a red core or a yellow core for your guns. You switch them, and that's how you fight. And like, which is actually pretty cool. Because like you have to be paying attention to which enemies you're fighting, and then switching to the proper, you know, proper color to fight that enemy. It's decent enough. It's on Game Pass now, so go play it, I guess.
I remember defending it a lot because I don't know. I can't remember where the reviews were at. I know it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't getting nines and tens, but I seem to remember getting like sixes and sevens and people being like, oh, it must be shit then. And I was just like, but I like these types of games.
Right. Like,
it's not shit.
and the 6 and 7 is probably a fair rating for it.
Yeah, as I recall, like, it's not, yeah, like, that's probably about right.
Like, but it is, like, people, like, look at it and go, it's not The Last of Us. It's, no, not, it's not Uncharted. Yeah. Like,
anything that's below an 8, people, like, consider shit. Some people, I don't know.
Yeah. And it's like, I'm good, but, like, look, yes, should Microsoft put more games out, but are we going to complain that they did like this weird quirky thing with like a bunch of Metroid developers? Also, it's by the studio that did Microsoft Flight Sim. It's a mix. It's the Microsoft Flight Sim guys, a bunch of guys that worked on the Metroid Prime game.
Yeah.
And the Mega Man creator. Inafune, I think.
Yeah.
Just like really like interesting group dynamics there. Fun enough game. It just has some like there's some weird shit in it that I don't love, but it's fun. And
also,
go ahead.
No, little mini rating rant is like think of like how on our other show like we rate movies. It's like, how many movies I'd say I love and I give a 7? You know what I mean? Like, if you have a 10-point scale, you know, 6s and 7s could be movies or games that you really like. You know, it's just you're trying to give an accurate assessment of, yeah, it's got flaws. Like,
you know where it breaks people's brains, and I think it needs to be a combination of the two. It's Rotten Tomatoes. Sometimes people forget what that is.
Yeah, people don't understand.
There's a lot of movies, like, if you look at it, they get, like, average reviews, but it's like, yeah, it's an average movie, but I enjoyed my time with it.
So that goes in the fresh column, you know what I mean? Yeah. That adds to that you know, 94% score or whatever.
Where gamers tend to look purely at the, okay, so this is a 75, so that means, like, it's a 75% game. Where I do think, like, I feel like if games did Rotten Tomatoes, it'd be like a lot of games would be closer to 100%, which is why it would be broken. But yeah, I think it's, and I do think we've spent, I don't say we, but I think there has been, I don't know if there's been an effort, but over the past decade or so, I do think that on average review scores have kind of come down. Like, you still, like, even like a bad game will still probably score in like the 6s, but it's still better than like where everything used to be, like, okay, like if you're 95 or above.
Like, you had a 10-point scale or whatever, and it was like everything was between 7 and 10. Yeah.
So,
yeah, and I think people, for whatever reason, they don't wrap their head around, like, movie reviews get away with it, like, because for whatever reason they do, but game reviews, people look at it like a school scoring system, where it's like, if you get below a 70, like, that's a D, like, you're failing, like, yeah. It's like, no, like, if I get 60% on this, that's a pretty damn, like, decent game.
Yeah.
If I give a movie 3 of 5 stars, that's a good movie. Like,
that means I had a good time, you know. Didn't blow my mind, but it was not a waste, you know.
Right. And like, look, if you want to, you know, take money into consideration, sure, like the, you know, there's a bunch of 8s and 9s here to play and a 6, and like, you don't want to spend 40 or 50 bucks on a 6 because you also want to play these other ones. Look, that's fine, but that doesn't mean the 6 is shit. Like, right. Just means you have limited funds, like most of us.
Yeah.
And I mean, just one minor point, because you mentioned the screw grading system, and that sometimes annoys me, because people will be like, oh, okay, no, this is a 65, that means it's an F. It's like, yeah, but that's not the skill they're using.
Right.
They translate, roughly speaking, but it's like, you know, some people use a 10-point skill, some people use a 5-point skill. Yes, a 4 out of 5 and an 8 out of 10 are roughly mathematically the same score, but it doesn't reflect the same thing, because it's like a much wider scale between that 4 and 5 than it is between that 8 and 10, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I hate when people try to, like, oh, no, but if they were using, but they're not using that scale. using this scale, and this scale means that, like, it goes from 1 to 100. Like, it's always been weird, our school system, anything under 65 was failing. And it's like, but this means that there's 65 numbers that do not matter. Then why do they exist on this scale?
And I think that's because, like, you know, in school, right, they're trying to measure proficiency and how much you know, as opposed to, like, with critical thinking, with critical, like, reviews and stuff. That's not what we're scoring here. Okay. Last game that I played, they made an announcement, I think, last week, maybe the week before, that Aloy was coming to Genshin Impact. Aloy from Horizon Zero Dawn.
Oh. Ooh.
Dang.
So I was like, that sounds pretty cool. But you have to, like, be, like, level 20, I guess, to be able to get her. So I was like, all right, well, let me jump in and see what this thing is about. Because everybody was talking about it last year. It's free. Won't harm me at all. That game's fine. It is not Breath of the Wild. I guess I could see the comparisons, but it is an anime-ass RPG. Like, there are some Breath of the Wild comparisons. You can cook. There's a stamina meter when you climb. You have a glider. But everything else is very much standard JRPG. You know, anime type storytelling, that type of game. It's an action RPG, so you are doing direct control, and you can have up to 4 characters in your party, which you can switch in and out, which is neat, because, like, you can set it up so that you have different people with different elements. So you can have, like, a fire person or an ice person. And they'll be able to, you know, there's, like, a very basic Pokemon type rock, paper, scissors type thing going on with enemies. So you can bring in the right character to fight the right enemies. It's neat. It's free. You can download it on, I think it's on the Epic Store. It's also on mobile. I don't recommend trying to play it with the touch controls, but. If you have a controller, it'll work there. I do think people like saying it's Breath of the Wild, but anime is a little crazy. But
no, because it's a JRPG. I saw a friend playing it, and that's, like, very button mashy.
Yes, like there's not, like, I mean, there's a couple different types of attacks. Like, there's the basic attack, which is probably the one you're going to spam all the time, and then there's a couple that have timers on them. Yeah. So it's like a more powerful attack, and then, like, a super attack. You're not, like, stringing together combos or anything, but it's kind of neat. And it looks great. Like, I mean, it's a good visual style for that type of game. I don't know. It's perfectly fine. I'm gonna play it and try and get Aloy. I'm already up to level 10. I played, like, about 4 hours, so. All right. Some news here. Nintendo had, what was it called? The Indie World Showcase.
There we go.
Let's see. They had a bunch of games that launched yesterday. Axiom Verge 2, which Jeff already talked about. Boyfriend Dungeon, which Earl said he's going to try out. You said that's on Game Pass too, right?
Yes. Which is one of the reasons I'm trying it out. They had, what else did they have? I didn't realize that Gang Beasts wasn't on the Switch. Oh. That's coming out.
Garden Story.
Yeah, I'm assuming it's not related to Sports Story and Golf Story, but...
Don't know.
I don't know if they showed this, but I saw on the eShop yesterday that Slime Rancher's on the Switch now.
That was showcased in one of the montages of a game. Like they announced, I think, 7 or 8 games yesterday that were out yesterday. or Wednesday as of this recording. Bomb Rush Cyberpunk, which does not like at all. Like, it's not called Jet Set Radio. Tome, which is a photography game. That looked interesting. I don't really get it, but it seemed interesting.
Yeah, was it all black and white?
Yes.
Okay.
We can go. I will call it fate. Like, most of this, I was just like, oh, this is interesting. But there was really nothing that like, grabbed my attention. Like, oh, man, I need to get this. And, I was just like, oh, it was a showcase. It was nice. But, yeah, I didn't feel like there was anything special here. Especially being that, like, look back at the indie showcase they had in March, I think, of this year, and they've had them. It's like there's still a lot of games that are missing from those showcases, and I get it's COVID and everything, but I feel like even before COVID, video game development is tough. But I think more than any other, indie developers are always really bad at hitting these dates and windows they give themselves, and I wish they would hold their cards closer to their chest so they were actually ready to release the game.
Axiom Verge 2, they fucking held that shit real close to their chest.
Well, did they, though? Because that was announced ages ago.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, it got announced, you heard nothing, and then it was just like, oh yeah, it's out now.
But that's exactly my point. It's like, why was it announced so far ahead of time?
Where's the Turtles game?
Yes. That was my personal thing. It's because like, that game was announced in March.
I was rooting March for it for you.
Because they were like, yeah, it's coming soon. Okay, you think, okay, it's coming soon. Like, you're going to stealth drop at any time. And I'm like, okay, it's almost going to go on 6 months where you've announced this. That's not coming soon at this point.
Yeah, they said summer, too, I think, at one point.
It's still summer.
I guess, for another month.
Right.
Yeah, it could still happen.
Well, they'll be so impatient.
It could still happen in the next month and a half. He's
so
maybe.
Impatient. Gamescom, I guess they could drop it there.
It could still drop. It's just that like,
they
I feel
from
like,
tomorrow.
I feel like, you know. I feel like when you say coming soon, it has an expectations of within a moderate. Like, I feel like 3 months is the window for coming soon. I think anything beyond that is just like, yeah, you could have just said coming summer 2021 or whatever. But yes, there are, like I said, there are games that get announced and it's like, yeah, we're excited. And then, I mean, maybe this is a me thing, especially with indie titles. I feel like the further away you are from announcement to launch, the easier it is for me to forget you exist.
Sure.
Because there were games that were announced and it's like coming in 2022. I'm like, okay. You are not going to matter to me in 2022. It's horrible to say, but part of it, again, like Jeff with Axiom Verge and me with Boyfriend Dungeon and some of the other stuff. It's like, because like, when you think about it, the onslaught of Switch games starts soon because you have WarioWare next month, you have Metroid in like a month and a half, you've got Mario Party, you've got you got Pokemon. So that's just going to make it harder and harder for you to stick out. Where I feel like you had an opportunity to drop some games during the summer where it's like you have this audience that's active and, you know, hungry for titles, and you won't get lost in the shuffle of Nintendo promoting their own titles. Like, Nintendo hasn't really promoted anything since Skyward Sword came out 3 weeks ago. Yeah. I'm not saying that they don't promote games. I'm just saying like they haven't had like a... Like, the next game is WarioWare, and that is still, what, a month away or something like that.
Close. I can't wait.
Tetris Effect coming to a Switch.
That was the only other thing other than Axiom Verge. I was like, that's cool. That should have been on the Switch a year ago, 2 years ago.
I mean, I guess it's a crapshoot because it's also like there's several versions of Tetris on the Switch already.
Well, there's part of me that's like, I want to get Tetris Effect on the Switch, but there's part of me that, like, before that, I want that, God damn it, what's the name of it? The Tetris slash...
Puyo Puyo Tetris?
Yes, yes, the sequel to that. Like, I still don't have that. And I thought the first one of that was a really cool, like, basically two puzzle games in one, you know? I don't know what more you could do with it, but again, there's been 8 million different versions of Tetris, and they're all pretty fun, so... I kind of want that more. Cause, like, Tetris Effect to me is a little bit gimmicky, but it's still really awesome.
I think I'm going to get it again.
Oh, yeah, I think so, too. Like, I don't know if I'm going to get it at, if they're doing, like, the full $40... Was it? That's a $40 game?
Yeah, 40.
If they do it at full $40, which they probably will, I'll probably wait till it goes on sale. But it just feels right to have that game on the Switch, you know.
Yeah, like I think to me that's the best version of Tetris out there right now. So if I could have that on the go, that'd be great.
Yeah, and it has crossplay, which is nice as well. But yes, I mean it's also on Game Pass, so
free.
Yeah. Yep. All right. What else we got here? No.
GTA coming to the Switch.
Yep.
How about that?
GTA coming everywhere.
But how do you guys feel about that? It hasn't been announced yet, right?
It's coming.
Yeah.
It's
like, I mean, there's
confirmed, like, from sources that it's coming.
Remains unconfirmed, but they're evidently rumored that there are remastered versions of Grand Theft Auto 3, Vice City, and San Andreas, and will be arriving on Stadia, Switch, PlayStation 4, 5, Windows, PC, Xbox One, and Series X sometime this fall.
Is anyone excited for this?
Yes.
I think I am.
Yeah, I think I am. Especially for Vice City and San Andreas, where I think GTA 4 and 5 went in a different direction than those games were.
Yes.
I am curious to see how they stand up in terms of, like, one of the things with GTA 3 especially was, like, it was revolutionary for its time, where open worlds have kind of dominated the industry since then. So I'm curious to see, like, what they modernize and what they keep and how much of it is just, like, it's just the original game with a shiny coat of paint.
I want to play Vice City, and I think that little touches could go a long way with that game. The only version I've played of it is on PS2, and, you know, there's things about it. I mean, there were things about it that were amazing at the time, but it's one of those things that doesn't have free camera control. Like, if you just add that, that's like a huge... I think it's a big, like, that's a big thing for me, you know? Like,
yeah.
It's just so cool to be playing Vice City on the Switch or whatever. Like,
I'd like free camera control, and I'd like them to maybe rework the shooting to
at
least be what they have for, like, GTA 5.
Yeah, right? Like, if you did those things, which they could do the game, and supposedly, like they said, they are doing some graphical stuff. I don't know. I don't get exactly what a mix of old and new graphics means, but
it could mean, like, you're cleaning up textures and stuff like that.
Yeah,
you're smoothing out the frame rate. Like, it's hard to.
If you did stuff like that though to Vice City, I think that goes a long way. I think that was like a, I don't know.
It's a game
was like ahead of its time in some ways.
Yeah,
at the time,
it's a beautiful looking game, or it was at the time, and that, like, the neon from. You know, the city lights and stuff is going to look great.
You know what's wild, though, is, like, they must be sitting on fucking... Obviously, they're selling piles of money, but, like, they have to license all those songs again or whatever? Like, how the fuck does that work?
I was going
to
say the same thing, but I'm also like, yeah, when your game sells 125 million copies, I think you can afford to splurge a bit.
It's super expensive, though. Like, I don't know what exactly it is, but each song, you're talking thousands of dollars, at least, you know?
You are, and I assume it's very different than even it was 20 years ago with streaming rights and stuff like that. But yeah, I assume they'll license it out because it is. I mean, they do new songs for GTA now, but it's especially with Vice City. That's a huge part of.
I hope
the
it's intact.
Identity.
I hope it's not like, oh, we couldn't get this song or that. Like, I hope it's intact.
And the funny thing is, they can make one song they don't get, and somehow that's gonna be everybody's favorite song from the game.
Yeah, it'll they're gonna spend fucking. I won't get my Rod Stewart Young Turks in their song. I'll be upset.
I can't.
But yes, and it would also, if I'm not mistaken, this would be the first GTA on a Nintendo system.
I mean,
home console, yes. Because DS had Chinatown Wars.
Yeah, which was a cool game too.
So,
I mean, what I'd really love here is if it wasn't just 3, Vice City and San Andreas, but they threw in those the story games as well.
The PSPs.
Yeah, I know. I mean, they eventually ported them to PS2.
That's right. Yeah.
I mean, I know that is wishful thinking. Probably not. But it would be so awesome because, like, then you get like a you get another Liberty City game and another Vice City game,
which I have not played. I've not played those ones.
I'm assuming
less people have played those ones as well. Like,
I played Liberty City Stories. I never finished Vice City Stories.
Oh.
What if they threw in Chinatown Wars for you?
Sure. Give me all of them.
Right. I mean, if you're going to remake this game, let's go for all of it, right?
The game was really cool. Like, those graphics probably not look good on a TV, but it was pretty cool for the DS.
The other rumor kind of attached to this rumor is that if this collection does well, they may go forward with a Red Dead Redemption remaster.
Oh, God.
They should do a Red Dead Revolver remaster. Really, you get people on their toes.
No one will expect that. No one.
Exactly. No, they wouldn't. There's a reason for that, but
it's like the thing about that is like I could play that on Xbox, and that game doesn't really feel old to me. At least the last time I played it didn't feel old.
Yeah, I still think it's better than the second one.
Yeah, I like it. I like it more than the second one, and it's just I don't know, but just the idea, like, you know, these GTA games are pretty old now, and if you did a little bit of work to them, would add a lot, I think. And also just the novelty of it. Like, I think I would get it on the Switch. It would just be wild.
Let's see. Typhoon Studios, which was the group behind Journey to the Savage Planet. They were under the Google banner. They have reformed into a new studio called Raccoon Logic. And I guess they'll...
And damn it, they have the white stuff. Wait,
they do have the white stuff.
I saw this yesterday.
And they have a woman that works on their team, too. This Kotaku article says the studio is 4.7% women. Also, they could use maybe a little bit of color in there.
Or any bit of color. Like, God. In the current climate, how can you release that studio picture of your staff? Like, are you that dumb? Do you not get what's going on? I don't understand it.
It's very tone deaf. And, like, he obviously is not getting it. The Alex Hutchinson is the guy. He is out there kind of railing against Jason Schreier and people that have...
Like it's his fault that you have just created this studio out of nowhere that has absolutely no sense of...
I think I went through the replies to this, and that guy, Alex Hutchinson or whatever, I think he's also... Again, don't quote me on this, but I think he's, like, said some stupid-ass shit before this.
Yes, he was the guy, I can't remember the exact quote. I forget what game it was, but they were going to include an option for male and female character choices in a game, and they didn't have time for a female model.
Oh, he's Assassin's Creed.
Yes, there we go. Yeah.
No, it's coming back to me. That, and then he said,
he's also the guy
about Japanese games, which I don't know how he meant it.
I think he's also the guy who said that reviewers and streamers should be begging for games because like they should be paying companies for the honor of reviewing the games.
I mean, I don't know if like that, you know, I don't think that's like offensive. It's just stupid. Like what?
No, it's offensive. It's stupid. It doesn't. You kind of ignore you ignore the streamer, the reviewer, critic, product relationship that way.
Yeah, I don't know. But that was a entertaining thing yesterday. Watching, I saw Jason Schreier post like the picture of like the whole studio or whatever, and then like that dude coming into the replies like, "Hey."
Well, I mean, to be fair, they posted the picture of the studio,
right? Yeah, but like, Schreier like shared it and said, "Look at this! Like, would you believe this is 2021 or something like that?" You know?
Yeah, and he's correct. He's absolutely correct because they gave an article, they gave a thing to Kotaku, and the Kotaku was like, "Oh yeah, you know, it was from the people that you'd call. Like, it's a bunch of people they worked with before, and then people they called." I'm like, "Okay, so you're seeing the problem here that if you're calling people that you know in the industry and it's predominantly white, this is the reason." He's like, "You know, like everybody comes to the defense. Oh, you don't know who to interview," and like when they asked, like he didn't know like if they interviewed women and stuff like that, and people of color. And it's like, yeah, it's, and then the defense that I always is like, "Oh, but it's a diversity of thought." Like, yes, that's not saying that, like, you know, like, okay, I mean, granted, I think we would be similar. We're all mostly from, I mean, Jeff is from wherever, but we're mostly from the Northeast here.
Wherever you're from, Jeff. Chicago is a pretty big city.
Yes, never, but I mean, it's like the middle of the country. It's like, but yes, it's like, yes, you'll get a diversity of thoughts, you get different life experiences from different races and different genders and people who don't identify as their birth gender. And it's like, it's a stupid response. It's always dumb. It's awful. And I hate the people who hop to the defense. Because, yes, in 2021, after going to 2020, especially, I don't know how you could sit there with a straight face and post a picture. Because like, the female employee is not even in the picture. It's all white dudes.
Nope, she's not there. It's all white dudes. That's the...
And think like, oh yeah, this is something to be proud of. Like, we're really happy about this, and nobody blinked an eye that like, yeah, we should probably hire some people of color. Like, I mean, at this point, even if it's like as testers or something to get them in the picture.
This guy is he's a special one. He was the director of Assassin's Creed 3.
Yeah, I looked at his profile. I was like, yeah, it's all nothing I care about.
Evidently, he was quoted as saying, "Feudal Japan, ancient Egypt, and World War II were too boring for the Assassin's Creed series." He made maybe the most boring Assassin's Creed.
He made the worst. He took like one of the most historical eras with so much going on and made the worst game. Good work, dude. You fucking suck.
It sucks. I remember being excited for Assassin's Creed 3 because, I don't know.
The setting.
It seemed like maybe I don't know as much as I should, but like, I'm like, oh, I kind of know like the American history a little bit. That might be interesting. I still hated it. The series did not get good until recently for me, but.
Which is funny because you liked when they moved to basically Origins, right? Like,
yeah.
So ancient Egypt.
That was Egypt. Yeah. You know, it was about the game. It was about the gameplay.
Oh my god!
If you did an awesome game like that, and you know, American Revolution, that'd be awesome.
This is just the more I think about this, it's so funny because like ancient Egypt is a lot of people consider Origins one of the best Assassin's Creed games, Ghost of Tsushima, which isn't an Assassin's Creed game but may as well be, is Feudal Japan, it's an excellent game.
Boring.
Yeah,
it's boring because you don't know anything about it. You're dumb like me.
Two of the best games of like the last like 10 years, or were too boring for that dude. All right. some people were let go, fired, I don't know, left Blizzard. But there was a trio of people. Louis Barriga, who was the director of Diablo 4, Jesse McCree, who was one of the game's lead designers, and World of Warcraft designer Jonathan LaCraft have reportedly left the company. Activision confirmed that. McCree was involved in that Bill Cosby suite stuff.
Oh God.
So yeah.
Miss you, dude. You suck.
Yeah. So it seems like more and more people are, as it's kind of being investigated internally, they're rooting out some of these. Granted, the people higher up that allowed these people to do this, they're still there, but I guess some cleaning is happening. So, yep, Diablo 4, I guess, is looking for a new director.
Yay. Yeah, it's such a crapshoot. It's been fascinating to watch this week unfold, because you have Diablo 4 news, you have the Diablo 2 news, you have the Call of Duty news, and then it's like that balance between like, do we report on this, or do we report on the fact that Activision still hasn't really said or done anything about the things we were just talking about 2 weeks ago.
And right.
It's like, it's fascinating seeing people like try to find that balance. What are we going to talk about?
And I guess following right off of that is that Call of Duty Vanguard details have leaked. Game hasn't been revealed yet, but that is going to be the game, the Call of Duty game for this year.
World War II.
Yep. No word on how that affects what is their battle royale game? Warzone? Yeah. No word from this on how it affects Warzone, but I guess that's where this leak came from. It was some hidden code in the latest patch there, so I don't know.
I like World War II, man. I really did. Like, it's still not old to me. It got old for a while there in like the early 2000s, and now it's like, they did that one in what?
Was 3 years ago?
Well, yeah, it was a little bit back now. I thought, honestly, it didn't seem like that one made a huge, like, amount of waves, but I liked it a lot. There's part of me that's like, that might be the only thing that would get me to buy it this year, so.
So, I mean, I could see that. I just have very little interest right now in any of their stuff, so. And I don't know if I want to spend $60 on another Call of Duty game.
We'll see. Big thing for me, it's gonna sound ridiculous, but it's true, is like how much space those games take up.
Yeah, they're huge.
Yeah,
it's like, it's nice to have like I think I finally deleted the last one off a hard drive. Like, it was nice to have there, but it's like, dude, you're taking up, now on this new system, like, a huge chunk of it. Like, I don't have any expansion of the storage yet, so it's just like,
yeah, it's a good 15-20% of the hard drive. So, and the hard drive slots for the Series X, not cheap, but
yeah, I don't think I'm going to expand. I think I'm going to be shuffling.
Yeah, it's fine.
Shuffling.
Yeah.
And I think that is it.
Except for the big piece of news this week. The ginormous piece of news. The earth-shattering, rump-shaking news of the week. That Idris Elba has been cast as Knuckles in the Sonic the Hedgehog movie sequel.
I saw that too.
I didn't realize that he was who had been cast, but that's kind of neat.
It's a very interesting choice. And I mean, one, it's an awesome choice because, canonically or non-canonically, Knuckles Rose has been canned as a black person for quite some time from our delegation. I think part of it comes from the fact that his stages in Sonic Adventure 1 and 2 were to rap music and stuff like that.
Dude, what's that song? Oh, it's so fucking good. It's like Pumpkin Hill or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that what it's called?
It's the Pumpkin Hill stage in Sonic Adventure 1, I believe, but I don't know if that's the name of the song. But the other thing is, like, it was just Albert. It's like one of those people who has a very distinct voice. And in my head, that is not at all what Knuckles sounds
like. Well, he could do other voices for sure.
Yeah.
Like I don't think he'll sound like Idris Elba, like natural Idris Elba. So
I mean he's English, right? Like
right.
So. Yeah. But like you watch him in The Wire, you would never know that, you know.
That's true.
Yes, but then I think of something like Zootopia and you could tell that's him. Yeah.
So who here has seen Suicide Squad?
I did.
Does Suicide Squad.
I watched the first half hour or so.
And then you gave up?
I think my girlfriend got home from out of town and I like left it playing and I never went back to it. I thought it was okay from what I saw of it.
See, I thought it was fine. Like I thought a lot of people who seemed to really, really enjoy it.
There was a great joke in the part that I saw. The polka dot guy, he's like, they show up at this camp and they kill everybody. And they're like, where are my soldiers or whatever? He's like, I pretended they were my mama.
That's right.
That was like the funniest fucking thing in what I saw.
I will say, I thought that joke back in a great way for me personally during the climax of the film. I thought that was very fun.
Oh, yes.
So they call back to it again?
They
call back
to
it a number of times.
Yeah. Thank you. But like, in the climax of the film, it really
so gave good.
Up, I think.
Yes.
I really enjoyed the film, but to your point, and I feel like this is something that happened every time. It's like everybody calls it like the best DC movie since The Dark Knight, which at some point I feel like barometer has to move forward.
Yeah.
Cause
I think my expectations were a little high based on what I had heard from other people, and it did not come close to those expectations.
Oh, this new one or whatever?
Yeah.
I really enjoy it. I think it's really good, but personally speaking, I wouldn't put it at the top of my DCEU rank either. Like, I think that's still, for me, that's still head and shoulders Wonder Woman. I put
like,
Shazam
the,
up
from,
there as
from
well.
A spectacle, it looked awesome. Like, the visuals, I think, are fantastic. It seemed a little thin. There wasn't a whole lot of character development plot. Like,
I think I think what people mention, and I think that's accurate, is that a lot of the character development comes from like a random exposition dump that each character gets.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like you learn about his backstory in that scene Jeff is talking about, and that is pretty much the extent of his backstory.
They did it better than the other Suicide Squad.
No, it's far and away better than the Suicide Squad. I think I joked afterwards, honestly speaking, when it comes to like sequels that are better than the original, this is now in the conversation in a level that like I don't know of many movies. Because usually when you say of a sequel that's better than the original, you're talking about like two good movies. Where this is like, it's a really crappy movie, and this is actually a really good movie. and it's like leaps and shoulders above that. But yes, I do think there it's weird. I think there's weird pacing. I think especially like in the middle segment when they do the Harley side quest, I mean, like,
so
it just
weird.
Kind of hosts. The scene's really great and it's really funny. But it's like it just halts the momentum of the movie.
Yep.
Like 10 or 15 minutes to do this whole side quest. And in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't really matter. Like, you can cut out most of that and still have the same movie.
You could likely cut out Harley and it would mostly be the same movie.
Well, hold on a second. Like, for me, like, the reason I haven't gone back to it is like, I'm just so sick of the genre. Like, I don't want any more superhero movies, but she is so... I love her as Harley Quinn. I think
she's great.
She's
so
good. She's just... She's just not really necessary here.
Like, I mean, like, clearly this is a blood sport and to a certain degree, Peacemaker movie.
Yeah.
Like, they are kind of the backbones of the film. And it really does feel like they didn't know what to do with Harley, so she is kind of, like, the first third of the movie, then they kind of do her subplot, and then they bring her back into the movie for the second half, and it felt like, yeah, it felt like, okay, you have to have Holly in here, but she doesn't really work with the dynamic that we're setting up, but we want to bring her in later on, so how do we get her in the area? But no, overall, it's one of those things where, like, I could see the flaws, but I also, like, I was just, like, I saw it. I actually saw it before we recorded last week. And I remember, like, going back on the train when I was leaving. I'm like, there were scenes that just kind of really stuck with me. And I think one of the things I really enjoyed, because I think sometimes, and I hate saying in the MCU, but I think sometimes we take for granted just some of the basics of movie making that they can gloss over. And, like, one of the things I absolutely adored with this movie was the transitions. I think they did scene settings. Like, the nameplates for locations they were at, or, yeah, like, how they kind of broke up some of the chapters. And I thought that was really fun and creative. Even the title with...
Director made it instead of just, like, it was pumped out of a factory.
What? I mean... to a degree, but even stuff like yes, we want to do transition, where, like, I think the only transitions I really remember in the MCU, I want to say Civil War, and that's because I think Civil War, and I think Infinity War did this too, where, like, when they wanted to set a stage, it's literally just giant text on the screen telling, like, Germany or New York City or something like that, and that's the scene setting, where, like,
there's a really cool one, like, maybe two-thirds of the way through, right before they bring Harley back, where it's
Things on the top of the buildings,
there's that one, but I think it was like a fire or something, and then it changes.
Yes, when they, like, it's like the mission, it's like, again, it's kind of, it's a fourth wall breaking of the movie, but it's really fun. I even like the intro title, because that's kind of spilled with somebody's blood in the water. I posted the one on Twitter where, like, the final battle, like, they have that big graphic that makes it feel like a big fight. I'm like, I really love that stuff. That, again, I feel like, because I feel like even some of the other DC films don't do that. Like, you just kind of assume you know what these characters are. I'm like, I really appreciated that they took time to do stuff like that, because, again, it's always the little things in movies and I've said in video games that really makes it stick out to me, and I thought those were really great. The other thing that I also had issues with, I think, is sometimes with, like the movie starts and then it goes back 3 days, but it going back to 3 days doesn't really add anything, because you jump back to the present day right away after that. So it's not even like you see those 3 days. It's just like, this was what happened 3 days before, and here we are now. Or, like, I kind of did it in the scene before the climax, where, like, they had that scene set up, and then it's like, here's what's been going on for the other 10 minutes with the other characters. That was fun.
Yeah.
And it's really weird to talk about the movie and not spoil stuff. I don't want to spoil it, but I'm like, I want to mention specifics, but it's like, yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
And I'll give it this, I won't spoil, but it has the most comic booky villain ish thing, I guess. Like, the final boss, the final battle in this is insane. Like, it's something.
I've seen it on Twitter.
Legitimately stupid.
Yeah, it's really dumb, but it's like super comic booky, right? Like, it's
It really is.
And I said the same thing when it happened. Is like, I feel like it's very much the DC's Guardians of the Galaxy moment. Because, I mean, before Guardians of the Galaxy, not that the MCU wasn't, like, you know, but, like, I felt like once Guardians succeeded, it's like, oh, we can do a bunch of really stupid comic stuff now. Like, we have a talking tree and a space raccoon, and people are just, like, driving with that. And I feel like this is the same thing, where it's like, okay, we have this enemy. Like, this, like, you can no longer say, like, oh, this isn't going to work, people aren't going to take this seriously. It's like, once you hit that enemy, there's really not much further you can't pull from. It's like, I want to see, like, a Superman movie with, like, Bizarro or something like that, where it's like, yeah, because I always say Bizarro's stupid. I'm like, no, if you can do that guy, you can do Bizarro.
Yeah, you can do anything, like, at this point. Go nuts. Like, stop being so reserved and trying to make the, like, serious superhero movies. Like, make something stupid.
Yeah. I do want to rewatch it. I do want to rewatch it.
You got some time, like what, another 3 weeks or so on HBO Max.
Yeah, I was gonna rewatch it tonight, but I'm like, I think I have Saturday off, so I might do it then, just to be a bum, because for some odd reason, I decided I agreed to go to a baseball game with my friends tomorrow. It's supposed to be 95 degrees.
Oh so. God. It's supposed to be 99 here tomorrow. I am not going outside.
It's been very hot the last few days here. Also, you should watch on HBO Max. Watch The White Lotus.
I am waiting for episode 6.
I'm all caught up. I'm ready to go for Sunday night. I can't fucking wait. I hope they come back for like a new season of that show with just a complete new cast. Like
they are. That is a great idea.
It has been announced?
Yes, they announced it this week. It's gonna be a new cast. Well, I don't know if it's gonna be a new cast. Well, it has to be
a new cast.
It's gonna be a new cast. But it could be like maybe one of the families or somebody's regation it. But it's supposed to be like at another. It's not this resort. It's supposed to be another White Lotus, possibly.
You could easily do the same resort. I mean, I don't know how things are going to end here, but like, I think some of the employees won't be around anymore.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if you guys have watched this at all. But it's,
nope.
It's great.
Watch I mean, some of the employees you should not be around. It's going yes. bad. Even a part of me doesn't want them to go because I don't want other characters to win.
All right, so you've seen it, Earl?
Yes.
Yeah, I love the employee. I mean, we're both talking about the same employee. I love him. But, like, you know, obviously, you could do a season 2 where he's not the hotel manager
yeah.
or whatever.
Oh, that would be fun if he was, like, demoted. But yes,
or you could, I'm just saying, you could do a whole new cast, have it at the same resort. It doesn't matter. Like,
but yeah, I mean,
you know,
I mean,
that stuff has turnover anyways to begin with. Like,
yeah, I was about to say, it's also a hotel, but you could do it. Like, you could do different chains because it's not like it's. I also have the idea behind the show where it's like we want to film a show in the pandemic, but we don't want to like do a big cast and crew, so we're just gonna rent out a Hawaiian island for like a few months to shoot a TV show. Like, yeah, you get a vacation. But yes, I think that's enough video game talk.
Yes, maybe more movie talk next week. Video game movie Free Guy comes out.
Free Guy.
This Friday, I may go see that. It is getting very good reviews. So, well, mostly positive. I won't say it's getting very good reviews. I haven't read the reviews, but it's holding an 84%. On Rotten Tomatoes. So
I will also say it's insane because that's everywhere. Like it's in Fortnite. Like there's an actual Free Guy marketing to in Fortnite right now. And then I don't know if you folks saw them or not. They did a bunch of like retro video game posters.
Yeah, so, like, they're pretty good.
Yeah, they're really good. So like you know somebody there enjoy video games.
And I thought this movie was gonna be a goddamn shit show, but evidently it might be good. So. Might go see that, before the rest of the world ends.
Yeah, they better not shut down theaters again. I'll be pissed.
They're gonna shut it down, right, Jeff? They're gonna shut it down the week before Halloween comes out.
Well, that's all that matters. Like,
I think Halloween might have to move because Venom just got moved to Halloween.
I'm fucking rolling up on David Gordon Green's place for the fucking.
Give me the print.
There's gonna be a private screening for me.
All right. We'll be back next week with some of that. Hades, I believe, also out.
Hades, yes.
Yeah, just hit Game Pass
right now.
Yep. So we might all have some of that. I know Earl and I have already played a little bit of it, but maybe we'll have some talk on that. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.
That was lazy.